And Carolyn caught the vision. And Carolyn came back. And as a result of that, we started the Master's Kitchen, which has been in existence for years now, that's serving the hungry and the homeless in this community. Is there not a cause?
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. We thank you for joining us today for the first half of Marching into Hell for a Heavenly Cause. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the first half of Marching into Hell for a Heavenly Cause.
Morning, in 1 Samuel 17, I believe the notes say 19, so you want to correct that on the notes. It's 1 Samuel 17. And in 1 Samuel 17, we see that the nation of Israel is in peril. They are in a battle with the Philistines in the valley of Elah, which is just a few miles away from Jerusalem. As they are there, the Philistines have a champion. They have an individual by the name of Goliath, who is their big dog, who is their champion. And as we look at this individual named Goliath, and I'm asked that you put that slide up there of Goliath, some things, interesting things that we want to point out about Goliath. The next one. That the Bible says that Goliath stood about 9 feet and 9 inches tall, that he wore a bronze helmet and a coat of armor that weighed about 125 pounds. We see that he had a javelin and a spear. On the tip of his spear was a piece of iron that weighed about 15 pounds. And so Goliath is out in the valley of Elah, and he is what we might call taunting the armies of God, or if I could use a term that we had back in the 70s, selling wolf tickets. And he's taunting God's army. He's taunting the people of God. And David's father had told David to go and take some supplies to his brothers that were on the field. And so David takes the supplies, and he sees this giant out there. And he sees the army of God backing down, cowering. And in chapter 17, and we read in verse 26, and it says here, and David spoke unto the men who stood by him, saying, "What shall be done for the man who killeth this Philistine and taketh away reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?" And then David says in verse 29, "Is there not a cause? Is there not a cause?" And so I want to speak to you this morning on the subject, marching into hell for a heavenly cause. Marching into hell for a heavenly cause. There's a song that, as I was meditating on this message, that kind of captured my attention. And it's a secular song, and the title of the song is "The Impossible Dream." And I remember when we were in high school, and when I graduated, they sang this song the night that I graduated, "The Impossible Dream." And I went back last night and I began to look at this song and meditate on this. And I believe Andy Williams is the guy that sang it. I'm not sure who wrote it. But this song has so much theology in it. And I just went through the song. And so I'm going to be putting the song up throughout the message this morning. And I found scriptures to back up everything that this individual was saying. So you go back to that right there, yeah. So actually, I'm taking my title from a line in the song, and it says, to fight for the right without question or pause, to be willing to march into hell for a heavenly cause. That's what I want to talk to you about this morning. Are you willing to march into hell for a heavenly cause? When we see David, all odds were against David. Here he was, a little shepherd boy that kept sheep out in the fields of Bethlehem, and now he's going against a 9-foot giant. He was a young man that was willing to march into hell for a heavenly cause. And David says in verse 29, what have I done? Is there not a cause? The Supreme Court threw out God's definition of marriage. Is there not a cause? Drug dealers are selling dope in our communities. Our kids are being touched by this epidemic. Is there not a cause? Abortion is killing our babies. Is there not a cause? Hundreds of people are dying every day and entering into hell. Is there not a cause? One out of every two marriages end in divorce. Is there not a cause? What cause are you fighting? What reason has God left you here? You know, as I think about causes. There are actually four causes that we can fight for. The first cause is what I call an honorless cause. And many people are fighting honorless causes. They are causes that are self-serving. They are causes that are consumed upon self. They are causes that have no worth and value. They are causes that make no difference in this world at all. I heard about this church in Tennessee, and they struck oil on their parking lot, and a gusher came out, and you know the oil was coming up, and they sent out the oil company, and they capped it off, and man, the church was rich, and money was coming from everywhere because of the oil that they found on the church property. And there was a deacon by the name of Deacon Brown. And this was a small church, about 40 people. And he made a motion in the business meeting. And he said, I make a motion that we divide all the proceeds among our 40 members. And he said, I make a further motion that we don't take on any new members. See, he had a cause, right? He had a cause. But his cause was the wrong cause. There are helpful causes. And these are causes such as save the whales and save the dolphins and save the tigers and save the elephants, save the trees and save the earth. These are helpful causes. And then there are high causes. Civil rights, animal rights, constitutional rights, human rights, women's rights. These are all high causes. But my brothers and sisters, there are some heavenly causes that we need to connect our heart with. Parents, bringing your children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, that's a heavenly cause. Christians, making other disciples for Jesus Christ, that's a heavenly cause. Employees, being a testimony on your job, that's a heavenly cause. Neighbors, letting your light, see your light shine, that's a heavenly cause. Believers getting busy serving God, that's a heavenly cause. We have a cause here in Homewood. And one of the causes that we have is that we want to wipe out hunger in Homewood. We want to wipe out hunger in Homewood. And so as a result of that, we have the master's kitchen, we have a food pantry, all designed to meet the needs of people, because we see the cause that's here. We see the hungry in our community. Is there not a cause? I remember we were over on the north side at a high rise, and we were serving meals to the homeless or in the high rise and the elderly on a Christmas, or I think it was Christmas Eve. This was years ago. And I remember Carolyn Watkins, one of our precious saints. We thank God for her. And I remember Carolyn was there, and I said to Carolyn, you know, Carolyn, I would like to see Bethany have a feeding program where we feed the community. And Carolyn caught the vision. And Carolyn came back. And as a result of that, we started the Master's Kitchen, which has been in existence for years now, that's serving the hungry and the homeless in this community. Is there not a cause? So my question to you today is, have you been captured by a cause?
We would like to take a short break for a brief word from Dr. Glaze.
Join Dr. William R. Glaze on Tuesday, January 22nd at 7:30 p.m. Dr. Glaze will give a mini sermonette on the topic Conquering the Lion in the Streets, based on Proverbs chapter 26, verse 13. You will have an opportunity to send in questions and comments that Dr. Glaze will address. See you on Facebook.
Welcome back. We will now return to today's message.
What's your cause? Why does God have you here on this earth? I believe that one of the reasons that God has me here on this earth, and I make no bones about it, and I've said it over and over again, is to wipe out biblical illiteracy. I feel that God has called me. So that's why when I have opportunities to teach and to preach, I take advantage of them. I get people asking me to come do stuff all the time. Calls, letters, emails, people want me to come to do all kind of things. But some of those things do not connect with the cause that God has called me to. And so when you find out what your cause is, then you can fight for your cause. You can march into hell for a heavenly cause. So when you think about a cause is something bigger than you. That you know that this cannot be accomplished unless a miracle happens. I told you the story about the man who was sentenced to die. And he went to the king, and he told the king, he said, if I teach your horse to fly in 10 years, will you spare my life? And the king said, sure, if you teach my horse to fly in 10 years, I will spare your life. And one of his friends said, man, you have to be crazy. You can't teach that horse to fly in 10 years. Why in the world would you make a deal like that with the king? And the man responded, well, in 10 years, the king might die. I might die. Or the horse might fly. See, you want to give yourself to something that's bigger than you. When God called me here at Bethany, there was three things that I knew before, you know, I stood in the pulpit. Three things God had put on my heart: a Bible Institute, a counseling ministry, and a radio ministry. Those are three things that I knew coming in the gate that I felt God wanted me to do. And in the radio ministry, I had no idea how that was going to take place. But I remember early on in my ministry here at Bethany, maybe 6 months, there was a brother who came off the street. And the brother came off the street, and he asked me, would I disciple him? And I just thought to myself, man, this guy's just going to waste my time. You know, and he was out somewhere last night, and he's going to come here today and ask me to disciple him. He's just going to waste my time. So I said, okay, I had a book. I think the name of that book was Pursuit of Holiness. And I gave this brother a couple of verses to memorize. And I said, come back next week, Tuesday, and we'll meet. And, there was no way in the world I thought that I was ever going to see this brother again. He came, and not only did he memorize the verse, but he had read the whole book. And I said, man, this brother is serious. And so anyhow, you know, we began to talk, and I began to share the desire for a radio ministry. And realizing that this brother was into technology and into, you know, all the kind of electronics and stuff like that. And I said, whenever we start, you know, me and you, we're gonna get this ministry started. And it was shortly after that, and I'm talking about something bigger than you are, right? That give yourself to a cause that's something bigger than you are. And somebody came up to me one Sunday, and this is back in 1990, right? And gave me a check for $2,500. And they said, Pastor, do with this whatever you want. And we started the radio ministry. Oh, you know who the brother was that I'm talking about, right? You know who the brother was that I'm talking about. Jeff Angel, number 49 in your program, number one in your heart. And so we started on a small station here in Homewood, 8 o'clock on Sunday mornings. And God blessed that. And we went to an AM station. And then we went to Whammo. They had an AM station. We were on Whammo. And then Lauren Mann had a station. And we got on Lauren Mann's station. And then one day, the station manager from Word FM came and said, we want to get you on Word FM. And I met with the deacons here. And we decided to go ahead and make that move. And so we started on a little half-hour program right here in the hood. And now we have a worldwide ministry. You can hear the Anchored in Jesus program anywhere in the world. We have Anchored in Jesus weekly devotionals that we send out. We have Anchored in Jesus Facebook Live. We got Anchored in Jesus tote bags, Anchored in Jesus hats, Anchored in Jesus t-shirts, Anchored in Jesus hoodies, Anchored in Jesus collared shirts, Anchored in Jesus sweats. We get ready to start the Anchored in Jesus funeral home. No, I'm just kidding. Is there not a cause? Has God burned something in your heart, that a passion in your heart that's bigger than you, a vision that you know unless God does it, it's not going to happen. Something that stretches you beyond who you are. Something that touches every area of your life. Something that you will give your all for. Something that is born out of your pain. Something that, you know, and sometimes God brings that cause because it's out of our own personal struggles, our own pain. Many of you know several years ago I was dealing with infection in my leg over a 2 or 3 year period. Went to 7 or 8 doctors and nobody could find out what the problem was. Nobody could tell me what was wrong. And I remember going to the hospital, getting surgeries, getting these infections cutting out of my leg, and coming home the next day, and the infection is still growing. And man, you know, something just began. I began to ask the Lord, Lord, is this it for me? Are you getting ready to take me home to glory? And just as I was sitting there, one Saturday morning, I was watching TV, and there was an infomercial or advertisement for American Leprosy Missions. And they showed two people on there. One was a lady who had leprosy, and how that the leprosy had eaten off her hands and began to eat at her face. And that her husband, because she was in a Muslim context, that he had several wives, and he pushed her to the side, and he didn't want her anymore. And nobody was there to take care of her. And she just had nobody. And then there was a little boy who they showed all these kids playing, but he couldn't play because leprosy had eaten his feet and eaten his hands. And I'm sitting there saying, Lord, I got this infection in my leg. And I realize how much of a struggle it is for me. And I have the hope, Lord, that I'm going to get better. But these folks right here, they can't have a nose restored. They can't have their hands restored. They can't have their ears restored. They can't have their feet restored. And God burdened my heart. And I looked on there and I got the number. And I began supporting that ministry. And as a matter of fact, we've invited them here. They came to our missions conference 1 year. Because and that was birthed out of my own personal pain, what I was struggling with. And sometimes, you know, you've been through something and you haven't been through it for no reason at all. That you have gone through it because God wants you to touch somebody else's life. And you have to ask yourself, is there not a cause? Is there not a reason? Is there not a heavenly cause? Something that is birthed out of your pain. Three things this morning, and I'm done. The first thing we see is the revelation of the cause. The revelation of the cause. And following the Father, following the orders of the Father, will lead us to the cause. Look at 1 Samuel chapter 17 and verse 17. And Jesse said unto David, his son, take now for thy brethren an ephah of this parched grain and these 10 loaves and run to the camp to thy brethren. How did David see that there was a need? How did he realize that there was a cause? Because he was obeying the orders of his Father. See, sometimes God is not going to lay out for you the plan and map it out, you know, all the way so that you know every corner and you know every straightaway, you know every bump. Sometimes he's just going to give you enough to say, just come right here. And when you get here, follow the orders. And David was following the orders of his Father. And as he followed the orders of his Father, he was being led to the cause that God had for him to fight. And this is why we need to spend time in God's word. This is why we need to be before him in prayer. Because we're not going to hear the voice of God if we are running around and too busy to sit before him, to sit in his presence. We are not going to hear his voice. But when we hear his voice, he leads us to the cause. Then let me share this. Let me share this. Ministering to your brothers and sisters will lead you to the cause. I see so many people that they are waiting to find their cause and they're sitting at home. There are so many people that are waiting to find their cause that they're sitting back doing nothing. But look what happened in verse 18. And carry these 10 cheeses unto the captain of their thousands.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the conclusion of Marching into Hell for a Heavenly Cause. If you would like to request an audio copy or the notes of today's message, Marching into Hell for a Heavenly Cause, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request Marching into Hell for a Heavenly Cause. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request Marching into Hell for a Heavenly Cause. Or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 6 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. As we conclude today's broadcast, let me remind you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.